Galatians chapter 1, we're going to be reading 10 through 24. Beginning in verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once again to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by the sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. We went over the beginning of Galatians on Wednesday night, and Paul really carries with the same theme in the first 10 verses through the first chapter and even into the second chapter. This letter came to the region of Galatia, to the churches contained in that region, and it was a pretty strong letter, pretty strong and full of emotion from the Apostle Paul to them. Paul was conveying a particular message to the church there. The church had been deceived and were currently being deceived. Now we got to remember that these were Gentiles. So they weren't used to the law. They didn't know the Old Testament law. But they had some people that came in and began to teach them the Old Testament law. And they were deceived. After Paul had preached here and people were converted and people began to realize the truth, after that happened, Judaizers came in. False teachers came in, claiming that salvation was to be obtained by Jesus, but also with a mixture of the law, mainly circumcision. These are some of the things that we went over in detail on Wednesday night. And what they were doing was they were undermining the authority and the apostleship of the Apostle Paul, and they were also distorting or perverting the true gospel message. This is what they were doing. They were adding to the gospel. It wasn't just Jesus by faith, but it was also Jesus by faith, and also you must adhere to the teachings of the law, primarily circumcision. And it's hard for me to sit back and to look at this and say that it doesn't happen. These were, in today's church, these were new converts, very impressionable, very easily swayed one way or the other. They were not very deep in the faith at this moment. They were new converts. Paul had left onto his missionary journeys, and false teachers had came in and began to mingle this law and this message of the law and Christ together. And it confused them. It swept them away. And I said on Wednesday night, and I still believe it, one reason why I think that trying to adhere to the law is easier because you can take it and instead of wholeheartedly trusting our life and trusting our lives over to the Lord by faith, we can see and we can take a check mark and a list of things to do that we can mark off the list and we can say, okay, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, and I've done that. And then it does not become anything about faith, but all about works. And so the Apostle Paul is coming to refute this teaching among the church of Galatia. And he does it, and he does it pretty harshly. In chapter 3 of this very epistle, Paul even tells them, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" They started off on the right track, but the church there let in some very persuasive Jewish teachers that were teaching that the law was important to go with faith in Jesus. And I want us to understand this morning that you can't have the law and you can't have Jesus at the same time. You just can't. You either believe by faith in Christ Jesus or you try to keep the whole law. One or the other. And you cannot keep the law. We know that the law, I read it earlier in the book of Romans, is to show us sin. You can't keep it. Jesus tells us in the New Testament, if you break one, you break them all. If you steal or you covet something in your heart, it's just as bad as stealing. Or if you have anger in your heart, Robert, it's just as bad as murder, right? And that means you've broken the law. And if you've broken one, you've broken them all. And so we're guilty of the law. We're guilty of keeping all of the law. So those that go after keeping the law, they must keep it all or they fail. And we know that that is impossible. So Paul comes in here and he begins to teach them. And he says, listen, guys, you can't keep the law. It is to show sin. It is to show wickedness. It is to show what is wrong in man. Salvation is of grace. So Paul's task at hand was a big one. He had been undermined. He had been lied on. And now he's coming to set them straight and to settle the score and to say, listen, this is the truth of the gospel message. He does it in love. But he's basically rebuking the church and rebuking the false teachers that are contained in it. And that's hard. That's not a message that people want to hear. It's not a message that people want to hear today. Matter of fact, what Paul's about to say is not a favorable message today. This is one reason we know why he was legit. Because he endured all sorts of stuff. Verse 10, listen to what it says. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? He asks them the question. He's asking them a question. He says, who do you really believe I'm trying to find favor in? He said, do you believe that I'm trying to find favor in God? Or do you believe that I'm trying to find favor in man? This is what Paul asks. Certainly, Paul wasn't being persecuted for finding favor in man. Paul wasn't doing that. He wasn't going out and doing all of these preachings and all of these different things to find favor with man. The message that he was preaching goes against the favor of man. They hated him even more for the message that he was preaching. He wasn't trying to find favor with man. Turn over a couple of pages, just a couple of pages back into 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. Listen to what it says. You can just turn there with me if you want. Paul was not trying to find favor with man. And if he was, he had an awfully weird way of doing it. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28. Listen to what it says here. This is what the true gospel will get you. It'll get you lynched. If you want to know the truth. The true gospel message will get you lynched. Verse 24 through 28. Listen to what Paul says here to the church of Corinth. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. That's with a whip. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such eternal things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Does that sound like Paul is trying to find favor with man or favor with God? Favor with God. He was being persecuted for righteousness. And before we move on, we have to ask the question. We have to ask ourselves the very same question. Are we trying to find favor with man, or are we trying to find favor with God? I want you to ask yourself that question right now. Are we serving the Lord to please Him and to find favor with Him? Or are we serving the Lord to please our mamas and daddies? Or those that went on before us? Are we coming to church so we can check it off? Are we trying to please man? Or are we trying to please God? This is one of the very first verses I learned when I got into the ministry 13 years ago. And it still stands as one of the firmest and one of the truest for a minister. This is something that I ask myself a lot. I do. This was when my brother surrendered to preach, my oldest brother, I told him, I said, turn to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. I want you to write something down. And he did. And this is what I told him to write down, verse 10. But as a pastor, this is something that I have to constantly be in reminding of. I have to be reminded of this. Is this for God's glory and for His name, for Him to be exalted? Is it for myself? Am I trying to be liked by my peers? This is something that I have to ask myself on a daily basis. And these are questions that we should ask ourselves. These are questions that you should ask yourself. Are you serving the Lord to find favor with Him and in His eyes? Or to find favor with man? I want you to see next that Paul's message of salvation by grace through faith alone is not a favorable one. You would think the one that's bringing the gospel of peace, that it would be such a wonderful message, and it is. But to those that reject it, it's not a very favorable message at all. This doctrine that the apostle was preaching concerning the gospel message nowadays has gotten kicked out. Pastors gotten kicked out of their pulpits more than you could probably count. The truth of the gospel. I know a man right now who is going through, man, he's going through it. Who has stood up for the gospel message, preached the gospel message. And the church is now in turmoil over it. It's not a favorable message. Why? The gospel that Paul was preaching speaks of what? It speaks of man's absolute depravity, doesn't it? Yes, amen. You try telling somebody they're dead and see what you get. You tell them that they're spiritually dead and bankrupt and see what you get. I've tried it. It's not favorable. It don't go over well. It speaks of man being detestable. Can anybody testify that man is detestable? Yes. Deplorable? Yes. Desperately wicked? Yes. Now we know the Bible says that, but can we testify to these things? Yes. We can. Yes. It speaks that a heart, it's a heart that is blacker than night. It is a heart that is filthy and a heart that is ruined, a heart that is desperately seeking wickedness. This is what the gospel message is. So often we preach about the good news about Jesus, but we leave out the bad news about man. And you can't leave them out. You have to, the good news, you got to have the bad news with it. In the pulpits around our nation today, and I praise God for this because I do see a surge coming back into the pulpits of people ministering in this capacity and preaching this, the testability of man's heart. But for so long, it was absent. It was so absent. And the truth is that man's heart is deceitful more than anything else. The gospel that Paul preached was that man's heart, spiritually, he was dead, absent of anything good in his own flesh. Anything. Paul preached that because man was so wretched. In fact, that salvation had to come to them or come to man from above. That there was nothing that they could do to receive it. Nothing that they could do to gain it. Nothing they could do to work it out. That it was a gift of God. Man is so detestable. Man is so wicked that it had to be a triune God come down from above to bring salvation. And this is what Paul was teaching. Not combined with works. Paul preached that we obtain grace by the free mercy of God alone for Christ's sake.
Amen. Yes,
yes. Like I said, men don't take it kindly when you tell them that they're dead in trespasses and sins. That their heart is deceitful or desperately wicked, or that they are as filthy rags on the outside. And I'm not even going to go into what that means. It's spiritually bankrupt. It's wickedness at its finest. This is not favorable, but this is what Paul was preaching. He was not trying to find favor with man. Matter of fact, he was trying to teach man that they were wicked outside of the grace of God. The only thing that Paul could gain from this message was death in this life and eternal reward in the next. He wasn't trying to find favor with man. If he wanted to find favor with man, he could have preached something that would have felt nice for them, couldn't he? Something that would have tickled their ears. Something far sweeter than that man is wretched and wicked. So we have to understand Peter as he, or Paul as he begins to teach here. He is coming in and he is stating his case against these false teachers. Verse 10, or am I striving to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And here with his defense, and as he stands in his defense, he shows us that there's no middle ground. We either are a bondservant, a bondslave for Christ, or we are not. We are either trying to find favor with God or we're trying to please man. One or the other. You can't have them both. It's just like the law in Christ. You can't have them both. It's either one or the other. We're either slaves for Christ or we're slaves for the world, right? Verse 11 and 12, listen to what it says. For I could have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He states his defense to the Judaizers. And his defense is what? That his apostleship was by direct revelation from Jesus Christ himself. Setting him apart from those Judaizers. And me and Miss Martha talked about that word this morning, and she corrected me. She said, no, you say it this way. And I always want to say it the other way. Okay. She said she wasn't dogmatic about it. So he says, for I have have you known, or I certify you? Listen to what the scripture says in verse 11 and 12. For I would have you known, or I certify you. This is a truth. He says, he is saying, I lie not. That my apostleship and the gospel I preach came from Jesus Christ personally. This is what they were saying about him, is that he received it from secondhand knowledge from the other apostles. And it's just not true. He received it straight from Jesus Christ. Verse 13. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Paul goes on to tell him, he says, in my former life, I was completely eaten up with tradition. I was completely eaten up with Judaism. He says, I was the best at it. He was the best at it. He was the most zealous. He was the up and coming star, the rising star. There's a lot of us that try to find salvation through trying to keep the law, the workings of the law. We become zealous in it. Zealous in doing these things, thinking that we're obtaining righteousness because of how zealous we are, and in fact, we're not. And we know that keeping the law, it just doesn't save. Verse 15, it says, but when he who had set me apart, before Paul had ever done good or evil, the Lord set him apart. Listen to the rest of the verse. Verse 15. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, Paul was set apart to be an heir of salvation, just as we are, but Paul had another purpose too, and we're going to look at what that was. That was to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Who were Gentiles? Us. I praise God that the Apostle Paul was set apart to preach to the Gentiles. And we all should be. And the Lord done this in Paul when it pleased him to do so. Paul was called by God's grace in God's time. Do we see that? Paul was called by God's grace in God's time. And this is where we see that salvation is a gift of God from above. And it's not of ourselves, nor is it through the workings of the law. This is what Paul is stressing to these false teachers and to the church that had been deceived. Verse 16, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. The Lord had a plan and he had a purpose for Saul of Tarsus. This Saul that was so wicked, the Lord had a plan and a purpose for him. He did. He had a plan and a purpose for this Saul of Tarsus. And that plan and purpose was to transform Saul into a vessel of righteousness. It was to transform him. It was to transform his message, his song, everything about him. The Lord would take him and make him into a new creation, a new creature only in Christ Jesus, preaching to the Gentiles. This was the plan and the purpose for Saul of Tarsus. And it was so that the Gentiles might receive salvation through grace by faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul's purpose was twofold, really. First, it was salvation, which we know was established before the foundation of the world. We can't get away from that. But second, his purpose was that he was called as an apostle to preach to the Gentiles. Verse 16, listen to what it says. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. So he continues here in 16 by telling them I did not need the authority of the apostles. I did not need the authority. Remember, he's still standing in defense against these false teachers. And he says, I did not need the authority of the apostles. I didn't need it. Why? Because God revealed himself to me. He called me to go do this. This is why I didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't need the authority of the apostles to go preach the gospel. He didn't need the authority of the church in Jerusalem. He went straight away and began to preach. Why? Because God personally called him to salvation and to his apostleship. And he did this in person to the Apostle Paul, setting him apart. You and I didn't have this call. Okay, we had a call to salvation, but we did not have a call like this. We did not have an apostolic call to do this what the Apostle Paul did when the early church was being established. That just wasn't us. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to the Apostle Paul and gave him that authority to go and to make disciples and to go and to establish churches. This is why he did not go back to Jerusalem. This is why he did not go meet with Peter and the early apostles. He went straight away into Arabia and he began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As soon as the scales came off of his eyes in Acts chapter 9, he went straight away and began to teach and began to preach. Listen to what it says in 17 and 18. Nor did I go to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to be acquainted with Cephas, or Peter, and stayed with him 15 days. So he's still making the case against these false teachers. He's saying, listen, it was 3 years before I went to Jerusalem. And when I got there, the only person I talked to was Simon Peter. And only for a certain amount of days. But I also spoke with the Lord's brother, too. So he's telling them in detail who he spoke to. He says, with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days, verse 19. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And then in verse 20 he says, now, and what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I'm not lying. Here he is under oath again. He says, I stand before the Lord, I am not lying. I am an apostle. I have been called by the Lord Jesus Christ to do this and to preach to the Gentiles. I've been saved by His grace. He says, I am not lying. Then in 21, he says, then I went out into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they were glorifying God because of me. Paul's defense that was laid out to the church of Galatia that had fallen by the wayside, and I use that lightly, because they weren't falling by the wayside because they were the Lord's own. But they were deceived by these false teachers. Paul's defense that was laid out to the church was true, but it was not all that favorable. It was hard to hear. It was hard for them to receive this rebuke. Yes. Saying that they were bewitched, or that they had been led astray. But you know that we can be, as Christians, if we're not careful. If we don't study and read God's Word and seek the Lord daily and diligently, we can be deceived. Just as the church of Galatia was. False teachers had brought in heresy. And they began following right after it. This is why we have to be so careful. So careful, especially concerning the doctrine of grace. The doctrine of our salvation. And Paul did not come to tickle the ears of the church there. He did not come to make them feel good about themselves, but rather He preached salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, to a lost and a dying region.
Yes, yes.
Gentiles. And this morning we praise God for the Apostle Paul's ministry.
Amen.
We praise God that the message went and was delivered basically to the world through this man who was so zealous at one point to persecute the church. In the letter, the people had been deceived. They had been bewitched. Saints of God deceived. And this is why it's so important that we adhere to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we pay attention to the Word of God and listen to it and study to show ourselves approved. That we don't faint in it, but that we continue to go about in its work. Or we too can be deceived, and don't think that we can't be.
Amen.
And so this morning, as I look at Paul's defense, as I see him defending his salvation, I see him defending his message of salvation, I see him defending his apostleship, I see a man that is standing firm on what he believes according to the Word of God and what he was called to. And I praise God for the Apostle Paul this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Yeah.